Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings, fellow travellers in the journey of life. I hope you're doing all right. It's still weird. I know we're doing this though. We're still, producer Paul and I, still pumping out these wonderful podcasts to keep you entertained, keep you focused through this quagmire of absolute shit. But we're going to come out the other side. Soon we'll all have a vaccine. We'll all have microchips in us so that whoever it is, Steve Jobs, can keep control of us from beyond the grave. I was about to finish. I just said that. I just said from beyond the grave. All right? Thanks, Jade. Jade heckling me straight away. No mucking around. She can't help but get involved. Hello, everyone. This is the beauty of recording from home, isn't it? Where we've got an audience of hecklers ready and waiting to pounce. Thank you for all of you for listening to us, for all your patronage. If you would like to be a Patreon, do jump up on our Patreon page, Insane in the Membrane, and that helps us keep the lights on. We're going to be doing some things on there. I know I say it all the time, but we are going to be doing some stuff for our wonderful patrons. So keep an eye on that. That is coming. We're going to have merch coming as well, all manner of things coming. But thank you for liking, subscribing and sharing. Please keep doing that, because it keeps these conversations out there into different people's ears, and then we become a bigger family, don't we? That's what we want. We want to be unified in the great fight against whatever we're fighting against. I mean, my head is sponge at the minute. I keep thinking I'm focused, and then I lose focus and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing my best, as we all are. But this week, our guest is a very good friend of mine. I've known him many years, since I think we and I started comedy, so we're looking at sort of 14, 15 years. Kane Brown, a fantastic comedian, fantastic human being. We've gigged together loads. We've had, you'll hear this in the episode. You'll hear how great mates we are, and we love each other very much, and I've been meaning to get him on for ages. Very interesting dude, a really great guy to talk to, and had some really interesting viewpoints. That was really nice. It's really nice to be able to have that conversation, you know, and you can do that. That's why it's good, you know, when you can have these conversations with your friends, you know, and you can say some things and discuss some things that you maybe couldn't discuss outside amongst, you know, other people. And we covered all manner of topics. We talked about love and self-improvement. We talked about all manner of stuff. We talked about race and all sorts of things. You'll hear this in the episode. So he's just a nice guy. I really wanted him on, and so we managed to get him on. Again, we're doing this via the internet, so maybe there might be some odd things, a bit of dropping out, some odd weird noises from here, there and everywhere. But producer Paul will probably work his magic as he always does, and makes this a beautiful thing for you to insert into your ears. So I'm going to stop waffling. We're going to crack on with the show. So coming up in a little bit is Kane Brown.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Yeah, we're in. All right.
Are we good?
Yes, brother.
Yay! Got the band back together.
I've been feeling like a side bitch the way you lot have been treating me, man.
What are you on about, bro? You're the one busy.
Yeah, I'll meet you on Tuesday. Don't worry.
Oh, man. I felt really bad. I was like...
Don't worry.
Yeah. Because I say to Jade, I'm going, because it was all good. And then you were like, I've got my kid and all that. I'm like, I can't handle it.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Do you know what it is? It's just a mad time at the moment, isn't it?
Like, yeah. But you're good, though.
I'm all right, mate. I can't complain. I'm loving the beard, man.
Look at you as well, man. Fuck, you're going all Billy Ocean on me. Look at that.
I know, man. It's fucked, man. It's
mate.
But the women like it, though.
They do. It tells a story, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. A bit of salt and pepper. It looks like you know some shit.
Yeah. How old are you, Rich?
I'll be 49 next week. I know. We go way back, man. How long? It's been a long time. 15 years or so.
No, longer than that. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, probably about 14, 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, from the gig in Croydon.
Yeah, the Green Dragon, no, was it? The Green Dragon?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I mean, you think my organisational skills are terrible now. You should have, back then, I would, every week it's like, oh, got to get some acts. And every week it was like, yeah, you're going to come down. It was you, Marlon.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly, same all the time. You're like my go-to. I'm like, they know the gig, they know the score, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I love that gig, actually. It was a good gig.
Yeah, it went all right.
Cut my teeth there, man. It was good.
Yeah, well, that was it, wasn't it? I think we were all starting out at the same sort of time, weren't we? So
yeah,
we learnt the hard way, man.
Yes, bruv. Old school, man.
Yeah. But now how many kids have you got then? You got four, yeah. Mate. How old are they now?
So the youngest is 4, then the twins are 21, then my eldest is 23.
Yeah, right. Oh, mate, covering the decades.
That's what I mean, man. I mean, you got two, right?
I've got two. They're 23 and 28.
You got a 28?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And they're both 6'2". So,
holy shit!
Yeah, it's glorious, right? I was so glad because if they took after me, like little hobbits running around.
My God, flipping out! Like when you think, like, fucking hell, you got a 28-year-old. You're not a granddaddy, are you?
Nah, not yet. I did say to them, I'm like, can you just get me past 50?
Yeah, then you're all right.
Then you're in granddad land, aren't you? Then you're all right. But yeah, what about you?
Nah, not yet, bro. Do you know what? I don't want to. Yeah, same. Like, give me until 50. Like, I'm 46, so. Yeah. At least another 5-6 years, then I'm all right. But imagine we could be fucking grandparents. When you think of what a grandparent is, and you look at us, how irresponsible we are. my grandparents couldn't afford like me. No way. No way.
Well, our grandparents, they would have been. So they would have had. I don't know, the war and all that and like shit going on around the world. And so they all aged overnight. They were grown-ups at 14.
With Instagram. So it's like, I'm still looking at the same pussy my kids are looking at. So it's like, we're the same age.
I know, there's us dicking around doing the dances on TikTok and all that. my grandma was never doing that. She was too busy doing 20 jobs.
That's what I mean. It just shows you how life experiences shapes you as opposed to your age. Age doesn't mean anything. It is literally your experiences, you know. Because even now, I think back to my gran. I remember my gran used to have like a pot under her bed, a piss pot, like, you know, like if they get up in the middle of the night. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And I did the calculations. She was like early 40s. I'm like, what the fuck is there with a piss?
Just like, oh yeah, I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to do it in. Yeah, when you're like 90 and you can't get around, then you go, yeah, I'm going to pee in a bucket under the bed.
I just remember rusty water in this pan. I just remember that as a kid. Do you know what I mean? You're like a bleeding radiator. That's what it reminded me of.
Just left under the bed. Yeah. Like, oh, I'll wait till it's full till I get rid of it.
Yeah, just ammonia. You're sleeping on ammonia. It's like, fuck's sake.
Oh, man. I know. It's just, it has changed, isn't it? It's all changed. Like, we are, we're going to be, and the way that young people seem to be as well, they all seem to be quite earnest, and they're getting on, like, they're getting behind causes and things like that, which is, you know, yeah, of course, you've got to stand up for your fellow man, but you got to find some fun as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. It can't all be causes and you know, all that shit. But I think that generation, the generation now are more, I don't know what they do for fun. When there's us lot dicking around.
Yeah. There's definitely been a shift in consciousness.
Yeah.
They're very conscious. There's a lot of information out there. Whereas before, I think when I was growing up, probably with you as well, we were in our little bubble. Yeah, and we only had information if we went out to seek it. Now you're getting things thrown at you from all over the place. You know, if there's a plight in Africa, you're not just hearing about it on the news. Like, you're seeing things real time from people's phones. All of the Middle East, when they started to turn against the governments, like, we might not have seen all of it. Do you know what I mean? So we can kind of like, people are galvanizing. It's like the power that we've got in our own hands. And I think they realize it. So they're trying to do stuff about it. Whereas me and you, we're still in like, hey!
we're sort of like, yeah, I get it. That shit's happening, but I can't do nothing about it. So
yeah,
I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to get.
Yeah. I'm going to go and have a pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to muck around. And I think, it's a shame. I see it online all the time. Like, if you, like I say, all the young people are they're raising awareness for this and that and the other, and you're like, yeah, absolutely should do that, but have a day off as well. Go and dick around like granddad.
Exactly. Because an ex of mine, she came up on my timeline the other day, and I think she's a year younger than me, but she dresses in like the pushed up this and tight clothes, and she's a gran as well, and I'm like, oh my, is this what the new grandmother looks like, the fish lips and
getting the right angle and getting it with the golden hour with the sun.
Yeah, how can you respect your gran and your gran's doing that shit?
This is it. All when I was a kid, you're probably the same. There was respect for your elders because there was a threat of violence. If you stepped out of line, you're gonna get a smack around the ear roll. Whereas now you're like, where you go? I'm gonna go see Gran. Like, she's up. She's out the window, like pulling faces and dancing.
Yeah,
it's doing TikTok
videos and doing it the Busset. Have you seen the Busset challenge?
No, what's that?
Oh, you have seen it. Where they you see a girl, she's all looking like in a dressing gown, hair all unkempt, and she's just doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And then drops to the ground, and then she's all dressed up and she's shaking her ass.
Yeah.
Hey, Instagram's addictive, you know.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? You get lost in that shit.
And it's a wormhole because you start with one thing and it shows you all related stuff. You could lose 2 hours just looking at people just dancing and shit.
I like that one. There's a one where they're sitting in their pajamas, and then they throw a shoe up and catch it. It looks like they catch it on their foot.
Yeah.
And they're all ready to go out and all that. And you're like, and that's going to be the grandparents. That's mad. It's mad. Yeah. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in South London, Lewisham.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah.
It was funny because my parents, we had a decent house, but we kept building. So we started in a small house, kept building. Mm. Ended up in a decent house. Then my mum decided she wanted to go back to Jamaica.
Right.
To live when I was probably about 17. And it took her a few years because she wanted to set up a business out there. So she was backwards and forwards. She decided she left when I was 20. So she left and I'm like stuck here. And I'm like, I'm not going to Jamaica. Like, there's no way. I can't live out there. I'm impatient. Like, I like things to be done a certain way.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for this chilling out shit, brother. I want things to move forward. And I said, I can't go. And to my younger brother, who's 8 years younger than me, so he would have been 12 at the time, he went. I stayed and I was with, I'd met a girl. And, you know, it wasn't even a serious relationship, but we were like, you know, we were in a relationship.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting forced together because obviously, like, my dad was here part time, kind of, because they were still together. So he was trying to sell the house and whatever while my mum was in Jamaica. And next thing I know, the girl I'm with, she gets pregnant. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And then now, and that's my life. It just started from when I was like, I think 23, I had my first son. And then it's just been a snowball effect ever since, mate. Just one, you know.
Yeah, yeah, man.
It's mad.
Same. Well, yeah, I was 20. I was 20 when Lisa was pregnant, and that's it. You kind of, that's your life now. You're a dad. I've been a dad now longer than I wasn't.
Yes, so but the time when you wasn't a dad, you weren't even an adult, so you weren't even enjoying that time, if that makes sense. So although that 20 years up until you were 15, it was all school and whatever else, do you know what I mean? And then so you've only really had 16 to 20. I don't know whether you went to college or uni or what, but so when did you have time to be you?
It's true. Yeah.
You've been an adult, you've been a dad, so you've been shaped by your circumstances. And unfortunately, what's happened with me, it's been a recurring theme in my life where my life has been dictated by females in some way.
Yes, same. You know that. You know this. You know this.
In some way or another, my life's been dictated, and it's like I've not had control in the direction of my life in some aspects because, you know, I even now, like I've got a 4-year-old. I live in Wales. My partner, she's from Wales. So now I'm in Wales with another child. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
I pressed the reset button. I've ended up on a snake. I was on 99 and I've gone on a snake. I've gone right back down to like 2. I'm like, oh my God. But I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. What I like about you is that you do, you've had this life where you're kind of moving around a lot and, you know, different relationships, but you seem very driven. When like the base level of you is a very driven man, you kind of, I mean, like you've just said, you kind of dictated where you're at and what you're doing by the relationships you've been in, but you as a person really are very driven. You put your eye, get your eye on the prize and you're off. And
I'll tell you what it was. That's one of the positives that's happened with me for having kids early when I was young. You get a lot of responsibility when you're young. So for you at 20, like, it's like, holy shit. Like, I know how mature you are now, or immature, should I say? Yeah. But like, you're fun loving. Like, you've got a real good spirit. You're not an old soul. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're a real young soul. So I can only imagine rich at 20. Do you know what I mean? Like, you must have been off the rails, mate. Like, off the charts. Like, you're a good-looking guy. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you're living your life, and all of a sudden now, bam, your life's changed. And what I found for me, having a child young, it gave me a sense of responsibility. It weren't just about me now. So it's like, right, get your shit together now. And, you know, I started... I weren't even focused on a career when I was young. And then I just decided, right, no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to have my goals and I'm going to achieve them. And touch wood, mate, I've got a good life, man. I can't complain. Honestly,
yeah.
I really can't complain, mate. I can't complain. I've worked hard for it, but it's paid off.
Yeah. You can see it though, mate, in your eyes. I'm looking at you now for the benefit of the tape. We're talking via Zoom. And I could see my friend in all his glorious glory. You can see it in your eyes, man. There's a contentment. There's a happiness there, which is good to see. Especially now, everyone's struggling with their mental health and struggling with fitting in the world. And so to see someone that is actually all right with where he's at, it's a beautiful thing to see, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks, because I think, as you get older, you learn to appreciate how complex the human mind is. Mm. Like, it's really complicated, and I'm always trying to better myself. So yeah. I see aspects of my personality that I'm like, no, I really need to work on that. Yeah. I really need to work on it. So I make a conscious effort to try to develop in areas that I'm lacking. So I used to be very like, I wouldn't say confrontational, but I wouldn't back down. Even if I thought I was wrong, maybe halfway through a discussion, I'd be like, oh, shit. I wouldn't back down. I couldn't admit I was wrong. Do you know what I mean? That's just dumb stubbornness that you just kind of develop. I don't even know where it came from. And I just decided, like, there's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then what can the person say? It's diffused. It's done.
There's a power in that. There's a power in admitting when you're wrong and going, yeah, that was, yeah, you're right, actually. And it takes, but it takes time. And it takes, like, say, maturity, I guess, to get to that point. Because I'm the same as you. I'd be like, I always felt, I was always on the defense. Like, I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
How dare you? No. I'm a fucking dude. You're the wrong. You're the ones in the wrong. You can go fuck yourself. It's only now I'm like, I was wrong loads.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, but this is the funny thing, Rich. Like, as you get older, you realize, like you said, there's more power in just being honest with yourself. It's not, I'm not doing it for the other person. I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah.
Because I realize I'm taking ownership of whatever's going on in the situation. So I'm saying, look, do you know what? Yeah, now I see your point. Sorry about that. Or, maybe I was banging out of order or whatever it is. And I just try to treat people how I like to be treated. I think that's an old rule, but I try to stick by that, man. And I wouldn't like to know, you know, all right, we're both comics and everybody has, everyone has like a story about themselves that people can tell, yeah? Mm. Now, there's certain comics on the circuit where you know everybody dislikes them or they've had a bad interaction with them. Do you know what I mean? Like, your reputation follows you around. Yeah. I would hate to feel as if people were slagging me off behind my back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I could mention a couple of names to you now, and I know you'd get a bad feeling about that name because it's like, oh, that person is a prick. But everybody's saying the same thing. I would not want to be that person. So I try and treat people with respect, because if I expect it, I can't not give it. I've got to give it, you know, and until you let me down, then I've just got to keep, you know, just try and stay true to myself.
Yeah, no, true, man. And you're right about that. Reputation is important, especially in this industry, just on a base level. So people work with you. So they go, oh yeah, let's get Kane in, let's get Rich in. They're always good to not eat it. Like, one, you're good at comedy, but two, you're good to be around. Like, you're not going to be a prick. You're going to do the job, and you're going to be easy to work with and get on with everybody. You know, I mean, you and I know I haven't lived a perfect life, and there's a couple of names that if I said them to you, you go, yeah, she thinks you're an asshole. And
yeah, but and that's go, different.
And that, but I'll go, but that's true, because I know what I did, and I own up to that. I go, yeah, that's valid. Because at that point I was a dickhead. But,
can I just say though, Rich? Yeah, you should also allow yourself the liberty of saying, do you know what? I'm allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah,
I'm allowed to make mistakes, bro. We're all not gonna walk a path of righteousness throughout our whole life. We don't do it.
Nah.
We're all gonna fuck up. are we back on the path now? That's all we need to know. Are we back? Yeah. Are we back? Because you can beat yourself up. And especially if, you know, you leave, you hurt people or whatever. And it's like, yeah, they're living in their hurt, but then you've moved on. So they're only hurting themselves. Mm. You've got to move on and say, look, I'm a better person now.
Yeah.
And that's true. It. That is it. So you can't live. Of course, you might have a little bit of guilt or whatever, or you might feel like I could have handled that better and I've really affected this person or blah, blah, whatever else. But do you know what? You've learned your lesson. I was who I was at the time. I know better now.
Yeah,
and this is the direction I'm moving in now. You know, I mean, me and you had a conversation last time we spoke, and I've seen an evolution in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And it's amazing because you realize, holy shit, man, I need to take a little bit more control of things and not let my old habits keep creeping into my life and being a distraction and a negative aspect. Bro, I'm still struggling with certain things, bro. I'm struggling with certain things, and I have to make a conscious effort.
Yeah.
And just because it's a conscious effort, that doesn't mean, I'm not going to keep trying, but it might not get any easier. It's like an alcoholic. I don't drink. But I can imagine what it's like being an alcoholic and the alcohol's just there. You can get it.
Yeah. You have to weigh up. You go, right, do I really want to go back to who I was, or am I happy where I'm at?
Yeah.
And if I go back to doing what I was doing, I'm going to destroy where I'm at now. And where I'm at now is a really good place.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of weigh up. You go, no, this is really cool. I'm the person I knew I could be. Yeah. Keep doing this. And that's what keeps you on that path that you were before. You know? Yeah. But
that sense of contentment as well. Sorry to cut you, Rich.
No.
That sense of contentment as well. It's like an inner peace, man. It's like a, although you might feel like, oh man, I wish you, but that inner peace and not having to stress about, all right, prime example. I used to be one of those people. You see, if I get a parking ticket, any letter that comes from the council, I'm not even opening it. I don't want to see the bad news. I don't want to see it. In my head, it will just disappear. Fuck it. I'll come. But some things don't go away and they keep building. And then at some point, you've got to deal with it. But at that point, it's too late. You know, that £40 ticket is now £900. And that's a big, you know what I mean? So I always try to address issues when they first come up. Let me address them now. So, because I don't want them to build up, because when people keep putting stuff off, you come to a point maybe a year down the line and you're like, oh my God, it's overwhelming. I've got 15 different big things that I think are big. I've got to deal with now. But it weren't 15 things at one point. At one point it was just, oh yeah, I only had two, but I didn't deal with them and they kept rolling over. It was like the lottery. Do you know what I mean?
I know. And then it, like you said, and then you go, oh, if I'd have just done that then.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I'm going for a similar thing right now.
Yeah.
Just a thing that I should have dealt with at the beginning of lockdown. I didn't, and now I've got to deal with it. But I will. But you're absolutely right. What I have realised, though, is that all my turmoil and my upset is because of outside things. It's not because of inner turmoil. Yeah. I'm actually at a place where I'm like, oh, I'm happy with who I am. I've gone through all that shit. Like you just said, I'm a better person. I'm doing better things. I'm being the person I knew I could be. So all my stresses and strains and that are just life on top of stuff. So I'm able to deal with it now. Whereas before, I'd just be in this tombola thing of just like, I don't like who I am. And then this thing is happening. I'm being attacked from all sides by life. It's all, you know, I'll just kill myself. Fuck it. And then, but now I'm like, no, it's all right. That's just the thing I've got to deal with. But me, myself, in my heart, I'm a better person.
Have you ever thought about taking your own life?
Yeah. I've said it on here before.
Did you?
Yeah, I did it. Not last year, before. And I just had enough and I went off and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fucking do it. Fuck this. And then you start thinking about your kids and you start thinking about, oh, that was it. I'd had an argument and it was like final straw, smashed my phone. I'm like, fuck this. No one needs me around. I'm going to just go and do it. And then on my way to go and do it, I was like, oh, I better sort my phone out. Then I went and got a 3-year contract on my phone. So, oh, no, yeah. And I've said that story on here before, but yeah. It just makes me laugh that I'm like, obviously, I didn't really want to do it. I just wanted the shit to stop.
Yeah, and that's quite a telling thing that you're saying, actually, because it's not because you wanted out. You just wanted some peace.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to face your issues. You have to face them. Yeah. And I think sometimes men, we kind of bury our head in the sand and try not to deal with things, especially when it comes to emotion and trying to dig up where things have come from. So a lot of us, especially comics as well, we got into comedy because we started to people please for whatever reason. Maybe you had a bad relationship with one of your parents or something like that, normally your dad. Yeah. And you try to kind of, you want them to be proud of you, you want them to be pleased with everything that you're doing. And that translates in, now you're an adult and it's like, oh, let me try and get this validation from strangers. Oh shit, my battery. Yeah, sorry. Let me try and get this validation from strangers. And then, but we're not really, we haven't dealt with the issue. Sorry. Let me move this. We haven't dealt with, sorry, I know it's going to mess with your audio.
No, it's all good. It just adds to the
texture.
The texture, yes.
Yeah, sorry. We need to really unpack ourselves. And I don't think a lot of people do. We think we are who we are. And that's it. This is how I am. And that's not the case. You can be whoever you want to be. You can be nicer. You can be kinder. You can be an arsehole. You can be a crook. You can be a thief. You can be anything you want to be. But we have to take ownership of it and stop making excuses. And I think men are really good at making excuses. Women as well. But I think with men, we've got this extra... I don't know whether it's... I think it's society, like a burden on us, where it's, you have to be a certain way. You have to conduct yourself a certain way. Like, you're supposed to be a breadwinner. You're supposed to be successful. You're supposed to be able to look after your kids. You're supposed to be able to be dependable. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to be everything. You're supposed to tick all of these boxes. And if you fall short of any of them, then you're not a man. You know, yeah. And it feels as if you're not supposed to have to deal with all of your emotions and cry. Like, you speak to women and they'll say, oh God, my pet hate if my boyfriend cried in front of me. Ugh, like, mate, how many times has your missus cried in front of you and it's nothing, bro? Over bullshit as well. You're like, what the fuck are you crying for? Oh, just... But we're not allowed the same liberty. We're not allowed. Like, and I'm not saying women got it easier. That's not what I'm saying. But there are some aspects of humanity, for some reason, we're not allowed to explore or do because it's deemed weak. You know, and that's, I think we really need to start getting away from that now, because we know better. We know there's nothing wrong with showing emotion.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in being wrong. There's nothing wrong in doing something that you're like, you maybe, like, all right, for example, not that I want to do it, yeah, just get it out there. But a woman, you could speak to a woman and she's like, you ask her about her sexual experiences. Mate, she slept with probably two of her friends. We were drunk one night. We just started kissing. What do you mean you started kissing? Yeah, we just started kissing. I said, if I told you I kissed my friend David, oh, you'd be gay. Why would I be gay but you ain't fucking lesbian? How does that work?
So it needs to be more of an understanding on both sides. People are more fluid and men are more emotional than we're given credit. You know, I think it is changing. It's starting to change now. I know from my experience, I was bawling my eyes out. I was watching Hamilton. I cried my eyes out in the second, man, I was just blubbing. And Jay's like, oh, I love this. I love this about you. You're so in tune with your emotions. And I'm like, oh yeah, I love it. But if I go and then, if I'm elsewhere and I'm crying elsewhere, like you say, someone else might just go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What are you crying for? And I can't go, oh, I'm just remembering Hamilton from last night. What are you crying at that for, you knobhead?
Yeah. And that's the thing. So But what where that's come from is you're comfortable in that space that you can allow yourself to cry in front of. So it's like you can just be your true self. There's, you don't have to hide emotions. You don't have to feel, you know what, instead of turning that passion into anger, because that's how a lot of men express themselves.
Yeah.
They're one or two states. They're either happy or they're angry. There's loads of other emotions in between that we need to express. And some of it might be expressing guilt rather than having it internal. We have to give us an opportunity to express ourselves. And I don't know whether, I mean, the next generation, they are definitely more open with things. Definitely they're more open than ours. You know, but will we get there where, you know, men and women have more of an equal footing when it comes to being able to, you know, show their true feelings? I don't know. There's still
I think it's happening. I think it is. There is a change. Definitely there is a change. And I think that's the thing as well, is that, like you've just said, it doesn't matter how old you are. There's still time for you to change. You're not stuck in that. You're not like, you don't get to a certain age, go, well, that's me, I'm complete. That whatever happens now, that's it. There's no changes.
Yeah.
It just changes all the time. There's that thing, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can. You can. It's if you're open to it. It's like technology, for example. People go, oh, I'm a technophobe. Because they're scared. They're scared of it. Mm-hmm. So they don't explore it. They go, well, you're going to get left behind. You need to just, it's nothing. Don't be scared to go, I don't know how it works. Show me how it works. Do you know what I mean? And that's the same with us as people.
Yeah. Like, that's where, you know. That was one of my weaknesses as well, asking. Do you know how much it would kill me inside to ask for help? Oh my, and I don't know why. It's weird because if you said to me, okay, lend me a tenner and I've got £11 on me, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
But for me to ask for help, even for simple things like, oh yeah, bro, show me how to do this, I feel like I'm bothering people. That's how I feel. It's in my head though.
It's in my head as well, yeah. It's like asking people to do this. But people go, do you want to come on the podcast? And I'm all like, oh, they might say no. I don't know. I'm scared to ask. And then every time they go, yeah, I'd love to. I'm surprised you not asked me before.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. It's all in my own head.
Yeah. But it's crazy how our own insecurities, we project them. And because when you are, bro, I would have jumped on this anytime you asked me because, bro, I got so much love for you, Rich. I've, honestly, you are such a special person, man. Like,
yeah,
never had a bad interaction with you. It's always been love. We've had some deep conversations sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, but every time I've walked away, I've always got something from having an interaction with you. You know,
you're
a good soul, man.
Yeah, you too.
There's not many people that I can say that, because you're good company as well. Like, you're, and even other people that I speak to, if I say to them, oh yeah, I was on Rich's podcast, and they'll be, oh mate, I love Rich. That's their nice, first. Man. Honestly, man, so I hope you realize that, because I know sometimes you're in your head and you're like, oh man, maybe people think I'm a bit of a dick because of this or that. People got a lot of respect for you, man.
Well, thanks, man. Oh, it's making me blush, man.
No, I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you, you're a loved person out here, mate. You're loved. In the black community as well. We love you, bro.
Yes! I'm in. Don't you be mucking around, mate. I'm in.
That was
funny, man, when he had the Black Lives Matter thing was blowing up and all that. And I know, this is the thing that a lot of people, they just assume that all black people want to talk about is race all the time and all that. And you're like, just fucking chill out, man. But with the Black Lives Matter, it's funny seeing a lot of white people going, oh, I need to get this black person on my podcast to show that I'm a decent person. You go, no, you should have been doing that anyway. You should have been doing that. What are you doing?
White guilt, man. That white guilt. The whole Black Lives Matter thing, it's crazy how it just took on a life of its own, because it started from something that we all know that happens.
Yeah, all the time.
We all know it happens all the time. But you know what? To see something happen, it's like, it's different.
Well, it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of this. Like, yeah. We always knew shit was going on.
Yeah.
But you kind of go, well, I haven't seen it. I'm just aware of it.
Yeah.
But now, like you say, that video, I couldn't watch it. The video of George Floyd, and you're like,
yeah,
it's too much. And like you say, it's seeing it just changed everything.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
And because a lot of times, I'll tell you what would happen a lot of the times, and this is where black people get really frustrated. We'll have our stories of whatever's happened to us in our life. And whatever happens in our life, whether it's documented in the newspaper or whatever else, people always ask, well, what did you do? There's always two sides to the story. There's always this, there's always that.
Yeah.
When you actually saw that, people were like, it doesn't matter what he did.
Exactly.
He wasn't a threat at that point. He was handcuffed. He was face down. There was four officers around him.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I think anybody who had any doubts or would question any scenario, it kind of, they were like, most people anyway, were like, no, that was out of order. They stopped seeing it being a black man who was into drugs or he was off his face or whatever it was. Everyone kind of saw past that.
Yeah.
And it galvanized everyone because everyone's at home and everyone's watching it. Everyone can see it. And it's like, oh no. And it just shows you the power in numbers because the amount of things that have happened because people are like, no, we're not letting this die. We're not letting this die. Yeah. We're gonna pursue some form of resolution. So you need to be doing the right things.
Yeah.
Make sure the guys, they're not working. Make sure, you know, you have to sack them. There has to be a full investigation. There has to be charges. There has to be. And it was the people that really pushed the whole narrative of it rather than just leaving it up to policies and a corrupt system that it works against us. It works against us.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to what you were saying. You're right. It was it was the first time it seemed that everybody went, regardless of what's happened, this is that guy didn't deserve. He didn't deserve that. It doesn't matter what he did. He didn't deserve that. And you're right. I was reading the thing about systemic racism the other day, and you don't realize how fucking racist the world is.
Like, yes.
Like there's that back in America when they abolished slavery, and then people were promised land and whatever else, and the black community never got that. The white people still had all the money and all the houses, and that's where their wealth comes from.
Yeah,
and black people didn't get any of that, and that's where all this stems from, and they deny it all. They deny it, and it's right there in front of you.
Yeah,
I'm a van driver from Kent. And even I can see I've read it and understand it. This black people never stood a chance because white people just sat on everything and went, nah, this is ours. You got to find your own. It's like, well, we can't, can we? You've left us with nothing. We were enslaved for 250 years and now this.
Watch this though, Rich. This is how deep it is, yeah? So the Jewish community, they got reparations. Right. Yeah. We got nothing.
Yeah.
Zero. The whole deal was meant to be 40 acres and a mule. So basically,
that's
it, so we were supposed to get our reparations through land, cultivate our own land, build our own wealth. The white community, what happened was they had free labor for hundreds of years off of our back. So we built, grew, did everything, all of the work, looked after the houses, looked after the kids, cultivated land, and we got zero for it. When slavery was abolished, they actually gave compensation to the slave owners. So so if you had 10 slaves, they'd give you a market rate for the slaves and pay you compensation for the fact that you don't have these slaves anymore.
Yeah, right.
So what was happening was the compensation was supposed to go to the victim, but it didn't. The money went to the perpetrators. Now, the perpetrators managed to set up businesses, buy property, buy land with that said money that they could hand down to next generations. Now, if you look and see, it was a very large sum of money. It wasn't insignificant. It wasn't a token gesture. It was real money. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was proper money. So what ended up happening, the white community, this is why now, it's like with the tearing down of statues and stuff. This is why it's important to us because we got nothing.
Yeah.
We got zero from slavery. But yet the people who did wrong, they got everything. They got absolutely everything. Do you know, up until what year was it? I think it was 2015. It took us up until 2015 to pay back the debt to the government for paying those slave owners.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, madness.
So that tells you how much money it is.
Yeah.
And how that resonates and translates in the black community. We basically, we've had a journey of, all right, so for example, my grandparents came over from Jamaica, came here. We don't really know our background. We don't know what part of Africa we're from. We don't know what language, what tribe, nothing. We don't know anything. All we know is Jamaica. That is it. Because, you know, the generations before, Jamaica. And then they come over here, but they come over here as second-class citizens with all the racism and all the we don't want you here and go back to your own country and all of this shit and look, being looked down on. They've had to go through that, even though we've helped build Britain into the great empire that it was. And then they have children. Now, what they've taught their children is, oh, just basically be quiet and just get on with your life and just make enough money to live. That's better than what we had back in Jamaica. So, do you know what I mean? So there was never a, right, listen, we are going to make an empire. There was never that thought process in grandparents of, do you know what I mean, from my generation. There was never, my grandpa never had that overwhelming, right, we're gonna make it, like, big. It was always to survive. Yeah, as long as we got food, roof over our head, clothes on our back, we're okay. And then it came to my parents who, they kind of didn't get it either. Like, bro, my great-grand had a house in South London, yeah? She bought the house for £6,000. That house now, today, is worth 1.7 million.
Wow.
But it got sold out of the family years ago when she went back to Jamaica for 180 grand.
Yeah.
So there's no wealth. We're not taught anything. Everything's any asset that we had is gone. And so there's no building. There was no pot of money where it's like, oh, you don't have to sell the house. Why don't we just keep it in the family? There was never that.
No, and you had to sell it, yeah.
Yeah, and so now, fast forward now to my generation, and we're kind of a bit more, we're mixing with everybody. You know, we look at each other. I don't look at myself as less than anybody else.
Mm.
You know, and then I've taught my children, listen, you're as good as everybody else, you know, as long as you work hard, you prove yourself. So we are making progress, but we're starting from ground zero. There is no money behind us. There is nothing. And money's important. Economics is very important.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about systemic racism. People don't really understand what that means. They just think, oh, this racism in the system. You go, no, the system itself.
It's racist. Yeah. It's inherently racist. Look at Stephen Lawrence's mum. She had to, that whole big investigation to show that the police force was systemically racist. In America, what they did after they abolished slavery, as time went on, what they brought in was the three strikes rule.
Yes.
And basically, you have three convictions, then that's it. You can go to prison forever. For whatever you went to prison, you go to prison. And what they knew was that what they started doing then was arresting black people for misdemeanor charges that you could get arrested for.
Mm.
Stupid shit. Might have a spliff or whatever, or jaywalking, some bullshit like that. But free strikes, we can do what we want with you. It's free labor at that point. Prison started making money because the prisons, it's a business now. It wasn't just to put away bad guys. It's a business. So now it's like, okay, all these companies, all these people are investing in prisons because it's profitable. Now, you know, they've got ulterior motives now. It's not just to keep bad people off the street. Now it's let's make as much money as possible. So, and then the people who make the laws we could all make laws to affect particular demographic, couldn't we? Like if I made a law tomorrow saying, all right, then you're not allowed, anybody who fucking does a particular thing, you're going to get arrested. I know I could target a particular community to kind of, you know, so then...
Yeah.
The arrest rate goes up. You know, if I said oh yeah, if anyone who eats halal food gets arrested. Like, well, I know who eats halal food. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's against the law. That don't mean it's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's these things that people go, oh, it was in the past, don't worry about it. You go, no, the frustration comes from the fact that these people have nothing because of what went on in the past. And so that's why something needs to be changed. People, like you say, they need to be recompensed. That's what needs to happen. They need to be given the same chances that everybody else was given. And that's where the anger and frustration come. And so something like George Floyd, it was like, enough. That's enough now. Yeah. That, was it Breonna?
Breonna Taylor.
Yeah. In her bed, innocently.
Imagine.
Yeah, you got some mad prick in a fucking Viking hat, walks into the Capitol building, and they go, oh, you might want to take that outside. So, oh, yeah, all right, I'll take it outside. Imagine if...
But it just shows you, it couldn't have been clearer. Yeah. The stark contrast. It couldn't have been clearer, Rich. It couldn't. For you to see how they attacked the Capitol building, you're like, if that was black people, we were marching, peaceful protesting.
Yeah.
Right? They tear gassed them. They did all kinds of things. People being arrested, beaten up. And then they stormed the building. Do you know, a year ago, a black woman did a U-turn in front of the Capitol building and they shot her dead.
What?
Yeah.
Because
the security there, you can't mess around with that building. It's like you going up to MI5 or MI6 or whatever down on that on the embankment.
Yeah.
Try and approach the gate and see if you're getting in. give it a bash. You can't because you're a threat.
Yeah.
You're a threat. So, and basically, I don't know how they managed to view her as a threat. They basically killed her. But it just shows you about privilege. Look at this. And it's not even just about color now, but privilege. Look at the woman who killed the guy, that boy, at the embassy. She knocked him over on his bike.
Yeah.
And because she was married to an ambassador, she flew back to America and she's got a diplomatic immunity. Now, who put that law? Who made that?
Yeah.
Do you understand? It's to protect themselves.
Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's like this whole, it's like Brexit. Brexit now, it was all about the fact because the EU were bringing in laws against having like tax offshore accounts and tax havens and money shit. And that's all this, all the toffs in this country just went, ah, shit, they're gonna find out about our secret money. And so they made this big fucking thing. They were they're wanging on about fish. They were talking about fish the other day, and you're like, this ain't about fish. This is about you keeping hold of your money, blaming it on immigrants. And you go, what? The families are dying in dinghies on there trying to get across to here. What? And that's the threat, is
that's
it?
Threat.
What are you fucking talking about? It isn't. It's you. The only threat is to your money.
Yeah,
but that's what all this shit is about, man.
Of course, everything to do with economics. Even when you look at all the contracts that have been handed out to all of these politicians' friends for like masks and PPE equipment and stuff like that, and contract, there was a freight contract with this freight company that's never ever done the job that they were asking them to do, and it was only because of public backlash why the contract got pulled. But come on. And you know what? They're humans, of course. Listen, if I get a little bring in, I'm gonna be like, hey, Rich, guess what, bruv? You got set up a little company, like you can make that $4 million. Like, yeah, of course, you're gonna do that. Yeah. Give me back, give me 10%. It's human nature. That's just what people do. But power corrupts. Power corrupts. And so all across the board, when it comes to like black people, we do feel hard done by, because even in entertainment, you'll see misrepresentation or lack of representation, and it's only starting to change a little bit now because it's fashionable.
Yeah.
It's fashionable. You'll see Mo Gilligan doing well, Judy Love, Dane Baptiste, they're doing well. But okay, what about the rest? What about the other people that got talent? Why are they not getting a look in? Why are they having to, you know? And so social media has changed things completely because...
Oh, definitely.
Oh my God. If I was born, if me and you were probably 20 years younger, Like, we would have been on it. Yeah. All the new that came out, we jump on it, and we would have learned and grown up in that culture, and it would have been second nature to us. Like, now, bro, it took me forever to jump on social media. Forever. But it was fear. All of it's fear.
Yeah, man.
All of it's fear.
Yeah. It is. And it's funny. Yes, there is more diverse representation now, but it still feels like there's still a long way to go, because it's still, we talk about this all the time, it's still white people calling the shots.
Yes.
And who says who comes in and who doesn't come in. And it still happens. And it's got to change from inside.
100%.
You know, and that's why these conversations are happening. That's why there's civil unrest and people have had enough, and because something needs to be done. It needs to be done. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we have these conversations.
Yeah.
You know, the other side of it is as well, like we said earlier, if you got to have a day off as well. You got to have, give yourself a moment and go, you know, all right, I'm like, keep yourself in order. Go, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I can't change the world, but I'm doing my little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
And that'll spread out. And
yeah, I mean, that's, and I, first of all, that's like you said, it starts with accountability of yourself, you know, and if you're making yourself accountable, that's a great start. It's a great start.
Yeah.
Also as well, I feel this whole, all right, for example, this is what happened to me over the whole Black Lives Matter thing. This guy who I stayed at his house, I stayed at his flat in Edinburgh when I did the Edinburgh Festival. Really nice guy, got on really well.
Yeah.
A white guy. He left me in his flat. It's a 2-bed flat. He left me in his flat. Didn't have no issues with, you know, doing any dodgy or anything like that. Like, it's my house, it's your house, blah, blah, blah. To the point where even when I went back to Edinburgh, he reached out and was like, oh, do you want to stay at mine? Blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, cool. Stayed at his. And then when the whole Black Lives Matter thing came up, he sent me a picture on Messenger. So it was to a group of people. Mm. He sent me a picture with, I don't know if you saw it, it was two dogs. One was a black dog, one was a white dog with a hood over its head, like a KKK hat.
Right.
And the black dog had a noose around his neck and it had a caption. Obviously a racist caption, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he sent that to me with laughing faces. So I messaged him. I said, what are you doing? Like, what are you playing at? He's like, oh, mate, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to send it to you. It was only to a few of my friends. So do you understand what I mean? So if you know it's wrong, you can't then try and justify it by saying I wasn't meant to see it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Fuck, so, man.
Like you said about the whole accountability thing, if he was accountable for his actions, he would have said to whoever passed it to him, mate, this ain't funny. This isn't appropriate. But he didn't.
Nah.
He didn't.
And that's part of the problem, isn't it? Like you say, just by that simple thing of him passing that picture on to someone else, just keeps that whole shit.
Yeah, like it's normal. Oh, it's funny. Yeah. And, you know, I know that some things we can talk about, you know, oh yeah, it's meant in jest or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But things have got better. But, you know, I've got stories as well of racist things happening to me, you know, and I still don't consider myself to be like a victim of racism as such, but I know loads of things have happened in my life. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, if I really think about it, bruv, once I was driving in central London, this guy with a backpack on said something. I couldn't hear what he said. I thought he was asking for directions. I wound my window down. He goes, you're allowed to swear on this podcast.
Yeah. You swear away, man. Yeah.
So he goes, oh, go on, fuck off, you black cunt.
Fuck.
He must have been on something. I don't know. So I said, what did he say? And then he repeated it again. Anyway, so I just wound my window up and I was going to drive off. He kicked my mirror and broke my mirror on my car. So I've got out of my car. Me and him end up like tussling or whatever. This ring that I got on, it broke it. This bit snapped here and I lost my ring. So I've had this for years and I was like, oh, mate, I need to find my ring. So there was loads of people outside. They saw exactly what happened. There's people looking for my ring, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this guy's shouting stuff while I'm looking for my ring. Some guy found it. I got my ring back. And then as I'm going back to my car, the guy like threw something at my car. So I've gone after him. We're fighting. I'm getting the better of him. The police are down the road. The police come up. The first thing the police done was punch me in my face. That's the first thing the police did. Got me on the ground with the white guy trying to kick me. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't get off me until probably about 3 or 4 other white people went up to them and was like, what are you doing? Mm. This guy was the victim. This guy was being racist. Right. My mouth is all swollen up. I've gone down to Charing Cross Police Station, just off of Regent Street.
Yeah.
Gone down there. They've taken pictures of like my mouth and all that, like proper swollen up. Like if someone blindsides you with a punch, like you're not expecting it. So you don't tense up or nothing. So it's like, it was the full weight of the punch.
Fuck.
So I was taking the guy to court for racial abuse or whatever it was. Anyway, before I went to court, I rang the police station and I said, look, can you please send me the images of like my mouth all busted up and whatever? What images? I said, you took pictures of my mouth when I came in to show the damage. Oh, mate, we can't see any images here. They must have been lost.
Fuck me.
Went into court. The police officer who punched me in my face, he went in when we were outside. He came up to me and was like, oh, mate, like, you know, because I was going to make a complaint against him. I was like, that's it, I'm done. Everyone's getting it. The guy being racist, the police officer, and he came up to me and was like, oh, you know, I didn't mean to punch you. Like, I went to put my arm around you, but I said, no, you didn't. I said, you punched me in my face. I said, there's a big difference. You punched me full force. Anyway, went into court probably a half an hour after that, and he was reading out his transcript, because you know they have to write down the transcript of whatever was said and done.
Yeah.
And he read out his transcript of what the communication me and him had, and he said that I accused him of punching me, and he said, but Your Honour, I did not touch him. I don't know where he sustained that injury. In court, he said
Fuck me.
So the system is just, it's fucked, bruv. It's fucked. I've been stopped before, had guns pulled on me from police saying, oh, that someone reported I had a gun in my car. They saw me with a gun. I was outside a post office. Me and my brother, they searched my car, took everything out, no apology or nothing, and just walked off. No apology. Mate.
Fuck, man. And I hear these stories time and time again. I don't know what the answer is. I know there are people, I'm friends with a couple of people and they're police officers.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and I'm like, yeah, I know you're good people. I know this isn't you that we're talking about, but it happens. And so that's what needs to happen is the colleagues of these people need to be the ones going, dude, what the fuck? Yeah. That's what needs to be happening. I know it's not everyone. I know there's bad apples everywhere, but there's a lot of bad apples.
Yeah.
And it needs to be dealt with in the system. It needs to be from the ground up.
Yeah.
That's
Do you know the unfortunate thing is though, Rich, if I'm being honest, the unfortunate thing is sometimes when something's so ingrained in a particular industry, people normally conform or they don't say anything.
They don't
say anything. Because I've got to go back to work with you. I'm not going back to work with the person who I've just saved. So I've got to kind of keep you on side as well. Otherwise, I'm creating friction back at my workplace.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with the comedy industry as well. You know, like with this whole females getting harassed and stuff like that and them coming out and saying, you know what, this is what happened to me in the changing room and this is what this guy said. And I kind of feel as if when you're in it, not that you don't know it's wrong, but you just kind of, take it as part of the industry, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there was an element of that, yeah.
Sometimes you feel as if you say anything and you speak out about it, you're going to be singled out as the one. So it is hard sometimes for the good guy to say, right, listen, guys, cut the crap, this is it. Because he's sometimes the least powerful person in the room.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know who he's got as an ally because all the good guys are keeping quiet.
Yeah. It's true. It's fucking true, man. Yeah. I've spoken out a couple of times And both times I end up in the fight and everyone else is gone.
And I'm like, gone.
No, I'm fighting on my own.
You've done the righteous thing, but when you call people out on bullshit, they will always retaliate with venom. Always.
Yeah, always.
Because no one who feels comfortable enough to do what they want is going to just say, oh, Rich, you're right. You know, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You're making them face their bullshit. You're making them face where their weakness is. They are not going to communicate with you where they're saying, oh, Rich is right, you know. So Rich.
Yeah, never going to happen. Yeah, I know. Having been backed into a corner myself when I was younger, like we said earlier, you don't turn around and go, yeah, you're right. That was me. That.
Yeah.
You go, what are you fucking saying? What are you saying? How fucking dare you? Nah, I'm not. And around we go. Ah.
Your monkey brain kicks in. That's what it is.
It is every time. Every time.
Our instinctive brain rules our life unless we're aware of it. We have to be aware of it. Yeah. I'm aware of it now. I've been aware of it for a good number of years, and I understand a lot of the time it wasn't me talking. It was a mixture of the situation with just instinct and just my own ego getting involved. And that concoction, mate, never ends well for anyone. There's no growth. There's nothing. Nothing. And you walk away from a situation and you're all like, yeah, fucking, I told him or I told her. But you know you might have been in the wrong. So it's like, what has anyone learned apart from you've just had a confrontation? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. I know.
You've got to learn. And I feel like that's where we all need to take some stock of ourselves at some point. I always do an inventory with myself. I always do inventory and say, right, what do I need to do? How do I need to get better? What do I need to improve on? Because if you don't, you can slip into just doing bullshit again. It's easy. It's easy. And I'm not a perfect person. Mate, my missus will tell you, there's many things that I lack, many, many things. But the things that I'm good at, I really, really push myself. I'm like, right. And the things that I'm not good with, I try.
True. Yeah. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do, mate.
All you can do. Dude, this has been fucking brilliant. I've really enjoyed talking to you, man. I've missed you. I love you very much.
I love you too.
And I tell you what, before we finish, I saw that clip of you with the Judy Love in that film. When is that film coming out, by the way?
It's out. It came out on the 18th of January. It's on iTunes, Amazon, loads of other platforms. I can send you the link afterwards anyway.
Yeah. Do. And where can we find you online?
Kane Brown Comedy on Instagram. Kane_Brown_comedy. Facebook is Kane Brown. Twitter, Kane Brown. So that's where you can find me. But I've got my podcast as well, Chalk and Cheese.
Nice.
Yeah, we just won an award for best podcast of the year.
Man. Well done. Yeah.
We're just starting season two. Things are really good, man. And so under real, real strange circumstances, I'm not making any money, but...
Nah. But the thing is, that's the thing. I love doing this podcast. And we've got a radio show and all manner. It's like we keep doing the things.
Yeah.
Like poor as fuck, no money at all. Yeah. But I'm rich in love and I'm rich in other things. So
And that's what's important.
Exactly. That's exactly what's important. I love you. This has been amazing. You, thanks, man. And this will
Jake. How you doing, baby girl?
She can't hear you.
I can't hear you. Hi, Kane.
Hello, my love.
I was just saying, we saw the clip of you in your suit in that film. I was like, what? Even I had an erection, man. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Beautiful, man.
Thank you. I hope you're not trying to worm me into a little threesome. You look dirty fuckers.
He's already onto us. He's already onto us.
Let's get the bowl and the keys out, babe.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
No one's doing that podcast, are they?
The swinging podcast. Kane, this has been lovely, man. Thank you so much.
I love you, Rich.
I love you too. Thanks, man.
Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.